have this privilege of speaking again in this good lectureship. We've had a great day, and a number of gospel preachers have come in today to be with us, the remaining part of this good lectureship. I want to commend the elders again for planning the lectureship and the theme of it, the words beginning with except as found in the Bible. Also, more personally, thank the Watsons for their kindness and their hospitality that I have enjoyed since being here. Now, I plan to remain for the remainder of this lectureship, but this will be the last time that I'll be speaking on any subject. It is good to read the Bible, and many people enjoy reading the book of Psalms. In the 127th Psalm, verse 1, is the statement, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." Some writers think of this psalm as the home psalm, because we have the expression, "Children are heritage of the Lord," also in this psalm. Others think of it as maybe a psalm that David used to Solomon in regard to the construction of the beautiful temple after the order of the tabernacle that was built by Moses in the wilderness centuries before. But regardless of that, some things can be said about the home, and I want to also use this as a means of thinking of a congregation or congregations of the Lord's people as children of God meeting and worshiping together in harmony with the teaching of the Word of God. I hope that the things that I have to say will be profitable unto all, young and old alike. "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." In the long ago, we read about the construction being started at the Tower of Babel. The Lord stopped that. But we can think about great houses that have been built, great temples that have been built, and I have seen many of them in various parts of the world. But let's think about the home. Brother Williams made a good talk last night concerning the Lord's law of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. God ordained the family in the beginning. Male and female created He them. After creating man, He said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a help, meet for him." And that word is M-E-E-T. Many people pronounce it mate, M-A-T-E. No, it means fit, a suitable companion for man. He only made one, Eve. It wasn't Adam and Steve, or it wasn't Eve and Evelyn. It was Adam and Eve. One woman, one man. And He ordained marriage for life. As we know, Jesus referred to this later in His ministry, as we read in Matthew 19, that in the beginning, God made them male and female. And He said, "For this cause, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one. And what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." God intended for the union to continue unto death would remove one or the other. That would break the tie. It is God that unites. Now, I know we sometimes say, "Well, the preacher said the ceremony and he tied the knot." I don't think he tied the knot. I think the Lord did that. He set the ceremony. And then at the close of it, He could say, "Now I pronounce you husband and wife, joined together in the holy bonds of matrimony." God ordained marriage, and it is of God, and the home is of the Lord. And this is something that the Lord created in the beginning of time. Now, I know in America today, there are those who are living together, so to speak, not married. And sometimes we know that individuals marry with the idea, well, if everything doesn't go all right, you can go your way and I'll go my way and I'll find somebody else and you can find somebody else. After all, that doesn't make any difference. But it does. And then sometimes we read that we are to approve of maybe two men living together. And this is a home, homosexuality. But in the Old Testament, God said through Moses, man shall not lie with man as he lies with a woman. It is abomination. It is wrong in the sight of God. Maybe two women living together in that sense, trying to make a home. Sometimes some of these won't adopt a child and rear this child in this kind of an environment. I think a child needs both a father and a mother. And I believe that's the way God intended for it to be. And I do not believe that homosexuality is right in the sight of God. Now, I know we have so-called churches today made up of homosexual people and lesbians. But I do not think this is right in the sight of God. He did not arrange this. This is man's arrangement, and it is wrong. In the very beginning, when the Lord gave the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel, he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And this has been repeated in the teaching of the New Testament. Adultery is wrong in the sight of God. And Jesus said, as Brother Williams emphasized last night in his talk, that the Lord said, whoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And he that marrieth her also commits adultery. So, if it is not on the grounds of fornication, and there is a separation and a so-called divorce, and they say, well, we can remarry, and they do. They are living in an adulterous relationship in the sight of God. And this is wrong in God's sight. When the Apostle Paul went to the wicked city of Corinth, he preached Christ and him crucified and told of God's great love for mankind. Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Later, Paul wrote them a letter, as in chapter 6, and they mentioned the fact that certain ones will not inherit the kingdom of God, that is, go to heaven. And they mentioned in this text homosexuality, or homosexuals, as well as drunkards and murderers. And that is wrong. But he also said, and such were, past tense, some of you. But now you're washed, you're justified. You've been forgiven of your sins, in other words. Yes, people can turn from that which is wrong and live a good life. But to repent and to be baptized simply means to give up doing that which is wrong in the sight of God. Baptism alone will not forgive an individual who does not repent. A person must make up his mind to turn from it and to do that which is right. The story of the prodigal son gives an illustration of repentance. The boy went away from home. He wasted his substance and riotous living. But by and by, in the hog pen, he came to himself and said, I'm going to go back to my father's house and say, I have sinned. If he had said that and not done that, he would have still stayed away from his father's house. He said, I will go back, and he went back. And his father ran to meet him and welcomed him and rejoiced because he had returned. Well, we know that. And so individuals should realize, certainly, God loves you, and Jesus died for you, and salvation is offered to all mankind. But we are to accept the teaching of the Lord. And heaven is not going to be made up of people who are immoral and murderers and adulterers, all like that. It is for those that love the Lord and do the Lord's will. Now then, I'm going to say something also about the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are congregations made up of Christian people who have been forgiven of their sins. We read of several in the New Testament. The church in Philippi, Ephesus, Corinth, the seven churches of Asia, as given in the book of Revelation, the church in Rome, and we could mention others. The Apostle Paul addressed these as the churches of Christ in Romans 16 and verse 16. Now, this congregation should be in harmony with the teaching of the Lord. After people obey the gospel and become Christians, they are to meet and assemble and worship as children of God. We read in Acts 20 and verse 7 of the saints at Troas meeting together on the first day of the week to break bread. And that is to worship the Lord. And I believe today that people who are religious need to recognize the fact that they are to have a congregation in harmony with the teaching of the Lord. We are having so many religious bodies being formed today in our country. I do not know how many. I live in a community, and close to me is a church building going up, and they have the sign, the Family Church. Well, of course, the church is for the whole family. All are invited to come, but it's not spoken of in the New Testament as the family church. It's the Lord's church, and Jesus died for it. He's the head of it, and there is one spiritual body from that standpoint, but many congregations, of course. Well, on another place, there's another congregation, and it doesn't have a Bible name at all. Now then, what about those? I believe that people need to take the Bible, the New Testament, and read about the Lord's church. As we have Paul's letter to Timothy, a gospel preacher, his second letter, and in chapter 1, Paul mentioned the fact, hold to the form of sound words. That word is also translated pattern in our American Standard Translation. God has given a pattern, if we might use that expression, of the Lord's church. And when we read that, we can follow that divine pattern and reproduce or have the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll just say briefly some of the things that must be included in the pattern. We must emphasize the Bible plan of salvation or the conditions of pardon by the grace of God. People are to hear the gospel and believe in Christ and sincerely, truly repent of their sins and confess Christ and be buried with the Lord in baptism, raised up therefrom to walk in newness of life. And we become new creatures in Christ Jesus when we're baptized into Christ. And so by faith we become the children of God when we are baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, if a congregation of people do not preach this and teach this and practice this, this would not be a house in harmony with the teaching of the Lord. God didn't establish congregation like that through His Word, not at all. But that isn't all. The congregation is the worship, as the Bible teaches. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman during His personal ministry, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is the object of our worship. They that worship Him, but we must worship Him in spirit with the right motive, the right attitude, and we must worship in truth, in harmony with the teaching of the Word of God. The Word is truth, John 17:17. There are those today who do things in the worship not authorized in the New Testament. They do not have the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day. Then, too, there is to be the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And often, there are instruments of music and maybe a band that plays in connection maybe with the singing. This is not in harmony with the teaching of the Lord. It would not be a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ if that was being practiced. And so many do that, as we know. They often say, well, the Bible doesn't say not to do it. Well, not in so many words, but the principle is we're not to add to God's Word and to go beyond that. When I was growing up, I heard gospel preachers use the story of the building of the ark by Noah. And God said, make it out of gopher wood. And that excluded the hickory, the pine, the persimmon, and all the others. He didn't have to say, make it out of gopher wood, and don't use hickory, pine, and persimmon, and name all the other kinds. That excluded those things. And so when we read of the Lord's Supper, and the bread, and the fruit of the vine, upon the first day of the week, that excludes something else. We couldn't add some other food on the Lord's table and not be scriptural. And it said, sing psalms, hymns, the spiritual songs. We cannot add to that and make it scriptural in the sight of the Lord. And when we think of other things, there is the name that we wear. They were called the churches of Christ, brethren, saints of the Lord. The word Christian is found three times in the New Testament. In Acts 11, 1 Peter 4, and Acts 26. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Where is the name that so many people wear? Where is it found in the New Testament? It's not there. Not there. Not a single denomination is mentioned in the New Testament. Not a one. They have come into existence, many of them, centuries after the Lord's church was built or established. We're not being unkind when we ask people to go back to the Bible and take the Word of God and follow it. The Apostle Peter in his writing said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God or as the Word of God. And Paul's closing message unto Timothy, when Paul was in prison at Rome, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Friends, that is what is so important. And unless people do this, they're laboring in vain. The Lord does not approve of people going out. Well, we're going to build us a church. We're going to have a church in this community, and we're going to invite people to come and attend this and give of their means to help support it. Well, are you following the teaching of the Bible? I heard a joke the other day about a new building being built, and the man said, well, I'll give you a lot of money if you put up there the Church of Christ. Oh, no, no, we won't do that. Well, then he said, I'll give you some money. You'll put up this. It's not the Lord's church. No, no, we won't do that either. Well, what are you going to call it then? Going to have a name that's not found in the Bible. And they're going to wear a name not found in the Bible. Let us follow the teaching of the Word of God. Now then, I have not joined a denomination. I am not a member of any denomination. I don't wear a denominational name. I don't want to preach any denominational teaching. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that is taught maybe in the denomination is not in the Bible, but some things are taught that are not in the Bible. If they just taught what was in the Bible, all of that and nothing more, it would be the true church of the Lord, wouldn't it? Now, I've been baptized at an early age, and the Lord added me to His church. And I'm a member of the Lord's church, the spiritual body of Christ. and I wear the name Christian. I do not wear any other human name. I mean another human name in connection with the word Christian in any way whatsoever. Let's get back to the Bible. If the Lord doesn't build it, they labor in vain that do that. Well, I can mention one or two other things also in connection with this. Not only should we have the scripture baptism and scriptural worship and the right name for the church and for individuals, we must emphasize good Christian living and approve of that which is right in the sight of God and ask of people to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Also, when men are qualified, as the Bible teaches, they can be selected as elders and deacons in a local congregation and to help oversee and direct the work in that congregation under Christ. Not that one man is to be the head of several congregations or churches in a vicinity until finally somebody is over all of them. No, that isn't in harmony with the Bible at all. Each congregation is an independent, separate unit with its own elders, plural, congregation or church, singular. Now, that is the teaching of the Bible. And the Apostle Paul, in one of his letters, talked about the bishops and the deacons, or the elders and the deacons. The word elder, deacon, or overseer, or pastor, or shepherd, are all used in the New Testament. The local preacher is not the pastor of the church. Not at all. Unless he serves as an elder, he is one of the elders in addition to the fact that he is an evangelist or a preacher who mainly preaches the word of the Lord. And the Bible teaches that, and it should be that way. Now let's emphasize the building of the New Testament church. Now I'm going to be personal for a few minutes. I want us to think how nice this congregation has been in the past. You have observed in the foyer maps and literature. This church has emphasized preaching the gospel and establishing New Testament congregations in all parts of the world in the last few years. And these lectureships have meant that. And the preacher and the elders have mentioned that. Several years ago, when I was here and speaking to Randy, he mentioned the going to Rigolathia and speaking, and I was happy to work out a date, and I enjoyed going and being with him. And you have helped to support him for a number of years, as well as Brother O'Connor and others. Why? Because you want people to learn what the New Testament teaches about the Lord's church. And you are to be mission-minded. Many congregations today need to realize the fact that we need to do much mission work. And here is a congregation that has emphasized it over the years and has set a good example for other churches to follow. And a preacher who has emphasized mission work. And so in other lands, this is being emphasized. We're grateful that the so-called curtain fell for Russia or the Soviet Union a few years ago. And now we have the privilege of going into that great country and emphasizing New Testament Christianity. And I have helped about thousands of Bibles and have had printed thousands of tracts to be distributed and to be used. And I'm just one preacher among many who have been going into that country and other countries as well to preach the gospel of Christ. We need to emphasize that because that is very, very important. Well, I want to mention something else for you. When I began this full-time meeting work or evangelistic work in 1972, I gave up what is called local work, and I didn't know whether I'd sink or swim, but the brethren have been good to me. They have helped me in so many wonderful ways. Brother J.C. Bailey and his wife visited at our home. As I moved back to Grand Prairie, part of Greater Dallas, close to the big airport, he wanted me to go to India. Well, I didn't know whether I wanted to go to India or not, but I decided I would. He emphasized that. He was talking to others about going. I went. I found the people were very poor, but they would come, and they would listen, and they would study, and many be baptized. And so I continued to go, and I made a number of trips. Brother Bailey and his wife have passed on, but others have taken it up, and many have gone. I had a map made of India several years ago and put it before the people so they could see it. The preachers who were there, we called it a seminar. And I've asked, now is the church in this state? Yes. In this state? No. That state? No. This state? Yes. Then I said, I want you preachers, to do everything you can to get the church established in all of the states of India. Would you try? Well, some of them spoke up and said, we'll try. We'll try. When I went back the next year, I had that chart put up again, that map of all the states. Now, is the church here? Yes. Church here? Yes. Over here? Yes. It's in all of the states of India. Now, what do you know about that? And I wanted you to know that tonight. All of the states of India. Now, I'm not saying that all of them have been baptized as faithful. Of course not. We recognize that. But I'm telling you, many of them have obeyed the gospel because churches have emphasized carrying the gospel. And Brother Bailey emphasize that and talk to people about going. Brethren, let me talk to you as preachers. Emphasize mission work. Emphasize carrying the gospel to the various parts of the world, because this is what the Lord said do. As He is ready to ascend back to the Father, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Or, as Matthew records it, go and teach all nations, all dialects. This is the Lord's cause, and we need to heed it. And I'm grateful that I have been able to live and to do a little part of this work, and that hundreds of gospel preachers have been busy in mission work in the last several years. Now again, we have money to do it too. Money can be raised. The tragedy that came about over in that part of the country caused many people to give money to help find the dead and to rebuild some of the cities. And that was good. Now then, recently, we've had the hurricane in our southern part and the New Orleans area. Many congregations have had special contributions on Sunday morning, and they have raised thousands of dollars to buy material, food, clothing, Bibles, and all to help those people. Many of them are being brought into the Dallas-Fort Worth area and other parts of the southern part of our country to live. Many of them will never go back into that country to live again. And we want to help them. And we should. God has blessed us, and we are to be liberal in our work. And think of the Bibles that we need to buy to give to those people, and tracts, as well as in other nations of the world. This, I believe, is what the elders had in mind when they assigned to me this subject. We are to build in harmony with the teaching of the Word of the Lord. And may God help us to do that with all of our strength and might. You say to your congregation, let's do more mission work. Let's buy Bibles. Let's provide tracts. Let's help in carrying the gospel of Christ to other people. There are various means being used today. Television programs, radio programs, literature. You know about this. I could speak of several projects that are being formed today and being used today to carry the gospel of Christ to the whole world. We're living in a great age, the Internet. It's impossible for us to keep the gospel out of the world because there are people who have radios, they have television sets, they can pick up the Word of God, even though the government may say you cannot come into this country and preach. At the same time, we can get the gospel over there and they'll listen to it and respond to it and maybe write letters and say, send us a Bible. We need some Bibles. Send us some literature. Will you do that? Well, that is what the Lord has in mind for us to do. And God is helping us to build congregations today as we have never done before in our lifetime, as far as I know. And I'm grateful that we live in this great age, that we can do this kind of work. I really am. And I want it to continue. Now, I wish I could live another 100 years and to preach, because I would enjoy it. I'd like to do it. But I realize I'll not be able to do it. But at the same time, you can carry it on. And I hope that you will. I want you to do it. And God help you to do that. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. But we can do it. We can do it, and the Lord will help us to do it as we labor in the service of the Lord. What about the Lord's church then? You know, sometimes we visit and people are very sincere about it. Well, you're a Christian, you're a preacher. Well, what kind of a preacher are you? Well, they mean, you know, what denomination are you in? Well, I'm not an indie denomination. Huh? You must be some kind of a screwball or something. You're not in any denomination? No, not a one. Just a member of the New Testament church, the Lord's church. Only this and nothing more. People need to understand that, and we can help them if we possibly can, to understand you can be a Christian and not in any denomination. Either Catholic or Protestant or Muslim or whatever it might be. Just a New Testament Christian, a member of the Lord's church. Only this and nothing more. Now, young people, build a home. Have a good Christian home. You young ladies, marry a good Christian man. You men, marry a good Christian girl. Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as fathers, as husbands. God wants you to do that. As gospel preachers and elders of congregations, do the mission work that you possibly can in the best way that you can. And God will bless you in so doing. And pray for our missionaries. Pray for them that God may bless them and that their work may be successful. Thank you for listening. God bless you.